the podcast where we look at movies and TV shows from the villain's perspective and dare to ask, were they really all that bad? I'm your host, Craig Faye.
And I'm your host, Rebecca Reeds.
And this week on the podcast, we are covering Love, Actually. It's about time. And
so excited.
Joining us this week, a very, very special guest. So excited to have them. They are a writer on Sort Of, which is on HBO Max and CBC. So check that out, as well as one of the hosts of The Fandom Show here on this very podcast network. Kaya Green's here.
Hello, tis I.
Hello.
So excited to have you, especially for this movie. Oh my God.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for giving me this chance. I've long lied in wait. Lay in wait? Lay in wait. Plotting the destruction of this film. Very excited.
And it's been sort of an epic story trying to get you, just coordinating schedules with everyone. Like, we originally wanted to have you in October, and then we were trying to pick movies, and you said, I think you said exactly that, like, I have been waiting my entire life to publicly take down this movie. And we're like, well, we have to do
that's
that
the one.
One. That's, yeah, that's we're yeah. going to have you on. And then this December.
Yeah. And so that worked out thematically. I do feel like I've really hyped myself up for a thorough destruction of this, which I think it mostly does itself. So we'll see.
It really does self-own.
Yeah.
So whenever we have a guest on, we always do like to ask, what is your relationship with this movie? Like, what's the history of this movie for you?
Oh, man. So I feel like, okay, there's a couple. You ever have that thing with movies where, like, they're... you have a memory of thinking of movies differently when you watched that movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I have a memory of watching Little Nicky, the Adam Sandler movie, and for the very first time in my life thinking, hey, movies can be bad. and not against
that's
anybody
funny.
Who likes it, because there's lots of merit to it, but that's my first thought. And I watched Love Actually with two friends of mine in college. And my friend had been hyping it up, being like, this movie is delightful. I loved it. It's so much fun. We have to watch it. And it was my birthday, and I was like, yeah. And
wow.
So we watched the film, and I remember about, like, they were laughing, and they both my very close friends at the time, best friends, both guys, were laughing and delighted with it. And I remember at about the 75 mark being like, I hate this. This film. I want to like it. I want to like it, but I cannot do it. And I think it was the very first time I thought, wow, movies are different for people that aren't men.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. It's such a weird movie because it is so popular, but I described it like rewatching it this time. I was like, this is the shell game of romantic comedies. This is the three-card Monty of romantic comedies, where it's just like everything is just moving so fast, and you're trying to keep your eyes on it, and you think you know where everything's going, but everything's going so fast that you're actually confused about what's going on.
Yes.
And you don't pay attention to what's actually happening.
Which is key.
Or timelines, or like anything. You're like, oh my, this, if you start dissecting this movie even a little bit, it gets derailed so quickly. It's so messed up.
Like,
as a movie.
Even if you just took each one and put all the scenes of each storyline and played it through in one go. Like, let's do the Keira Knightley storyline. Let's do this storyline. Let's do this one. And played them all through, like, start to finish. You'd be like, this is awful.
Yes.
This is
so
what a terrible sort
so
of thing.
Deeply
but because
upsetting,
they
yeah.
keep, like, doing the bait and switch, they're like, no, we're talking about the prime minister now. We're doing this. We're doing this.
Yeah.
We're doing this. I think it just is, like, confuses people. It's like a flashing light. It's like...
look over there.
Yeah, look over there. Like a strobe light in the club, and you're like, I feel weird. Maybe that's just my epilepsy kicking in, but I'm like, I need to leave.
Absolutely. I watched this movie a lot when I was a teen, and I loved it. I was like, I love this movie. Because I was like a big, like, I loved rom-coms. I loved all, like, and just would watch it with just, I guess, rose-colored glasses. I don't know what it was. I just think because I was a teen and I didn't know any better. And I hadn't watched this movie in years. And then watching it this time, I was like, oh, right. Because the last time I watched this, I was an adult and decided that this was all garbage. This was all hot, hot garbage and so unrealistic and just ridiculous.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I'm going to do the impossible right here. So if you have not seen Love Actually, oh boy. All right. Well, let me just say it does revolve around Christmas, hence why we're doing it in the holiday movie month. But it's a whole bunch of various plot lines with lots of different characters all mixed together, most of whom I will refer to as their actor names or the role that they're more famous for, because that's the only way you can really keep it.
I did not write down one person's name in this.
Fair enough.
There's one guy named Colin, and it's not Colin Firth. There's another Colin. That's the only way I can remember.
All right, fair enough. Yeah, that's a British move, is to be like, there's Collins in this movie, but also it's not Colin Firth. Like, there's six Collins. All right, so here's a brief summary of what goes down in Love Actually. So the first storyline we come across is Bill Nye. He's an aging rock star recording a Christmas version of Love Is All Around Me. It's absolutely awful. He basically just goes around on TV acting like an ass, which I was kind of for. And then he realizes at the end that he wants to spend Christmas with his longtime manager, who he's been making fun of the whole time. Kind of sweet. The other one is with Colin Firth, and his girlfriend cheats on him with his brother. He goes to France for Christmas, I guess, because he can't take it. Falls in love with his Portuguese housekeeper, who does not speak English. He does not speak Portuguese. They're unable to communicate with each other. They somehow fall in love. They go back to their respective countries and learn each other's language, and he flies back and asks her to marry him. That's the entire plot of that. Liam Neeson, a.k.a. Mr. Taken, his wife has died. His young, I believe even stepson, it's not even his biological son.
No, it's his stepson. Yeah, they mentioned that.
I miss that part.
So he's upset about
his
wife's death.
It's like one line. They just drop it in.
I'm going to give it to him. You're going to be upset about your wife's death. And he's sort of encouraging his son to, like, be in love and tell the girl he likes that he likes her. And encourages him to learn drums, and then takes him to an airport where they bust through security and encourages the kid to stalk this girl to the airport as she's flying off in the family.
Just a little light terrorism.
Light terrorism, assisted by Mr. Bean.
My favorite character in this movie.
Yeah, then we've got a plot line with Emma Thompson, who I think is actually most famous for being in Emma. Like, that's just a weird, like the Jane. Yeah. So, okay. So Emma and Hans Gruber, because it's
and
a Christmas
movie. Hans Gruber!
Alan Rickman. It's a Christmas movie. So, of course, yes, I was going to be.
Yeah.
It was either
Snape
or Hans Gruber in his Christmas movie. So he's
far more evil in this film.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Legitimately.
Yes.
So
he is.
He's married. His assistant is trying really hard to sleep with him. He buys a gold necklace for his assistant and gets his wife a Joni Mitchell CD. His wife, Emma, discovers the gold necklace before she thinks she's getting it. So when Christmas morning comes and doesn't open the gold necklace, she knows that he's cheating on her. That's the whole plot.
Buddy, that's a hard scene.
That's a hard scene to watch.
Her listening to Joni Mitchell crying and trying to keep it together before she goes to her child's play. I was like, oh, no, that makes me feel feelings every time. Yeah. That does.
100%.
And we're not even halfway through these plot lines. Jeez. Okay, so we got Martin Freeman, a.k.a. Watson, a.k.a. Bilbo Baggins, and a woman, Just Julia. They're standing for porn actors, so they're getting, like, lighting references off of people.
Which is not a thing.
Sure, it's not a thing. And they have conversations, and they kind of like each other. It's actually kind of the least problematic of anything on there.
Strong agree.
Chiwetel Ejiofor marries Keira Knightley. Rick Grimes from Walking Dead shows up. He's their best man. Keira Knightley watches the wedding video that he recorded, finds that he's hyper fixating on her and her alone, and is like, that's weird. He shows up at their house while the husband is there, his best friend.
Oh,
and
God.
Just with like poster cards being like, I love you, I love you, I love you. And she chases him into the street and kisses him. Colin. There's Colin. You're right. There is a Colin.
There is a Colin.
AKA the creepy British guy who complains that
Colin.
The reason he can't get laid is because all British women sucks, flies to America, meets the three hottest women who have to sleep at, like, who immediately want to have an orgy with him. I can't believe this worked out for him.
It infuriates. That's like one of my top tier. Yeah. I'm fucking pissed.
It's my like villain origin story.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. No, it's so inappropriate.
Everything just works out for him.
I hate it. I hate it so much. He's such a disgusting. Anyway, sorry.
And then finally, probably the most empathetic one of all, Laura Linney is in love with her coworker, Carl. There's like a mutual thing. Her boss, Hans Gruber, is telling her to like hook up with this guy, which probably workplace inappropriate, but like
completely.
Fine. But but they're definitely into each other. They're like Christmas party. They get a chance to hook up. She's always distracted. She turns out she has a brother, the only family she has, who has severe mental illness, and is constantly calling her for support and comfort. And she basically chooses him over any sort of romantic entanglement. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of sad, but also nice at the same time. And I think that's all of them. I think I've...
Yeah, I think you got it.
Oh,
yeah.
It's a lot
You did a really good job on
I forgot
on
the
it, yeah.
Prime... I skipped over the Prime Minister.
Oh, we cannot forget.
We absolutely cannot forget. That's inexcusable.
There's so many plot lines. I'm actually skipping over lines in my notes here.
Very
Prime
difficult.
Minister Hugh Grant meets his staff, which includes Natalie, who everyone, including herself, calls fat. She's not.
She is. I am so tired of watching British movies that tell me I'm fat. I'm like, I am the same size as all of these women, and this is ridiculous. How dare you?
Being fat is normal, and she is also not fat.
Yes!
Not even remotely fat.
It's so weird.
Anyway.
And even if she was, who cares? Anyway, it doesn't matter.
So he's like, but I like her anyway because she swears in front of me. So distracted by her, he asks her to get moved to like a different department or something,
which is so
and then he realizes that he loves her and goes door to door in every house on a street on Christmas Eve trying to find her to win her back, and they all end up at a kids winter pageant at school, and you realize they're all related, they're sister and they're boss and they know each other.
Wow.
Whoo, that was hard. There
so
we
that's
go.
The
that's
end
that
of the
movie.
Episode. That's
yes, congratulations. Yes, yeah. That was amazing.
I just saved you watching Love Actually. Play it back at 1.5 times speed, and you'll get everything there. But,
oh my god, I can't even imagine watching this at 1.5 speed. It would make my head spin.
It'd be faster though.
It would be yes. The trauma would be over faster. That is true. And team, before we get into who we think the villains are, there are so many. We would like to thank our sponsor for this episode, guys. TeePublic. You know TeePublic.
Yeah, teepublic.com. We love them. It's independent artists creating really cool designs for whatever you're into. I got a Kerbal Space Program t-shirt recently.
That is so you.
It is so me, right?
That's
but it's
so
the
you,
NASA
buddy.
Logo, and it's got like Kerbal across it. I was like, I love this. I love that this exists as a shirt.
That's
I love that
so
I can get it
for
on
real.
TeePublic. Yeah.
Oh my god, guys. And also TeePublic has a holiday sale on right now. So TeePublic's holiday sales are still going strong. You can get up to 35% off everything on the site until December 16th.
Yeah, that's right. And everything is by independent artists. You get a fair commission for their work, so you're supporting them as well. Pick up some Christmas stuff. It's great. We got some in our store there. So head on over to vwstore.fromsuperheroes.com to check out all of our merch and favorite designs from TeePublic. That's vwrstore.fromsuperheroes.com. And thank you, TeePublic, for your support. And now, who do we think the villains of this movie are? There's so many.
Everyone in this movie.
Absolutely everyone in this movie.
Every person in this movie and whoever made this movie.
Absolutely. Or if you want to see it from the movie's perspective, I think the villain is women. I think truly every single storyline in this, it took me a while as I was watching, I was like, who is the villain of this movie? But every single storyline, the problem, the person causing pain, the person causing torture is a woman.
Wow.
Every single time.
Yeah,
you can go
right.
through every single
I
one of them.
I love this. Love this so much. What a great,
yeah.
Yes.
I also picked up on that similarity because it's like a lot of this feels like there's a power dynamic where men are in control. There's like definitely like that sort of male fantasy of like fly to a different country. Yeah, I'll find you hot.
It's not even my fault. You're doing this to me.
Yeah, totally. Right, exactly.
So I should move you to a different department and cost you a job because you're too distracting to
yes.
me.
Ooh. Your gams are too hot. Yeah. I can't.
You're too British and you don't want to sleep with me. Therefore, you're the problem. Yes. Not because I am literally me too in a human body.
Oh, good lord, this movie's problematic.
Right?
So much.
I don't even know where to start.
I think for me, like, the big one that jumped out at me is Hans Gruber. Like, that's like the most heartbreaking one. And because it's the premise of the podcast, I am going to make an honest shot at defending him.
Whoa.
Which is...
This is wild.
By the way, I think
my eyebrows are raised. I think it's... I need you to know that. Just, okay, I've got... I'm taking pause over here.
Just so we're clear, there is human being Craig who's like, well, that fuck that asshole.
Yes, of course.
Fuck him for what he's doing. Then there's podcast host Craig who's going to make a go at it.
Okay.
So please don't...
Love this Venn diagram. Let's go.
Try it.
The audiences need what we have a premise to fulfill.
Love it.
Here's my defense of him. There is a strong possibility he's just a fucking idiot. Where there is the scene where... He seems kind of like, I'm not sure why my assistant is acting this way. Where she's like, seems to be like, are you getting me a present? And he goes, am I supposed to get you a present? And she goes, yes, get me something fancy. And he goes, okay. And then the moment that he realizes it's a problem is when his wife is like, I know you got that for her. And he's like, oh, that's
no,
how it looks.
I already
all
disagree.
Right,
yeah,
I already,
absolutely.
Hard disagree.
It's a, he it was knows a weak it, effort.
He knows it's a secret.
Yeah.
It's a secret. When he's right. in the store getting absolutely. It packed, he knows it's a secret.
That's the whole
right.
joke.
If it wasn't a problem, he'd be like, hello, my wife. I'm buying this for my secretary. Is that normal? And she'd be like, fuck no.
Yeah.
Back up that truck.
Yeah. Okay. I agree that he's an idiot.
Yeah, I absolutely.
I'll take that for sure.
Yes. Yes.
Because he's married to Emma Thompson. What's wrong with you?
Yes, yeah, what's absolutely. Wrong with you?
And instead he chooses to pursue a, like, demon mannequin in human form. Like, she's a personalityless human.
Oh, yes. Yes.
She is.
Her personality is, I want to have sex with
you. Yes, her personality is, my legs are spread on this chair.
Yes.
Did you notice?
That's it.
That's the whole
thing.
That's
it. Yeah. She's just a walking tube top.
How does a tube top even walk?
I don't know. I don't know. It's got no straps.
It's all torso.
Okay, you know what I would like to do? Just so we don't miss anything.
Yeah.
And you did such a good job. I want to go down through each plot.
Oh, okay.
I think we should dissect each plot line here.
I agree.
And we go in order in which you have presented, because I am going to lose some of it.
Fair enough.
There's just too much.
It's
there's
the only
much.
Way. Yes. We need to do a system.
You're right. So let's we'll cycle back. So let's, Bill Nye, the aging rock star.
The aging rock star, aside from, you know, him, like, I actually kind of, I liked him.
I agree.
I liked him. It was one of the better plot points. I loved, one of my favorite lines in this movie is, don't buy drugs, become a rock star, and they give them to you for free.
It is an excellent line.
That's
after
right.
drawing a penis on a, a live TV on a boy band, I was like, I'm here for this guy's energy.
Yeah.
I will say, I think the movie is like, look at him fucking this up for his manager.
I don't know. I think it's when I'm watching it, I'm like, this is a guy that knows what's up. Like, he actually has self-awareness. He knows what he's doing is ridiculous. He doesn't care that his song's shit.
Yeah.
He talks to his manager about how it's shit. He talks on the radio about how it's shit. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Lean into your shit. I like it.
And I think that, like, watching it, I feel like that's why the song succeeds, is because he kind of becomes a bit of a viral thing.
Yes, exactly. And I love it.
Yeah,
people are listening to it ironically.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like there's something charming about embracing that. I will say my favorite part of this plot line is that there's no women in it. There's no women in it. No one has to suffer.
Oh my God, this does really, links up with your theory very
although,
well.
Right?
Although they absolutely. Are used to set dressing as sexy Santa Clauses in his music video.
Yes, that's true. That that's is true. Irritating.
But that's more just pop culture, everybody.
Yes.
Yes.
No, I would say, I think this plot line's fine. I'm going to give it a pass. I think we can move on to the next one.
Colin Firth, his girlfriend cheats on him. with his brother.
And in that way, she is the villain.
She is. Nah. You know the other strong villain of this, and I know she was sort of faking it, but like the beginning scene where she's like, I'm so sick, go without me. And she's like sexy sick. Like she's in like a nice sweater and is like, ugh. And I'm tired of seeing sexy sick. I'm tired of seeing capable sick.
Yep.
You know, like there's a cold and flu commercial going on right now where they're like, get back to working out. I was like, in what reality do you have a cold or a flu? And you're like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to work out right now.
I miss it.
I'm like, I just need to do, I'm going to take care of kids. Like show people fucking snot dripping out of their
nose.
Just miserable, red, puffy, coughing.
Netflix is asking you if you're okay, like that level.
Yeah. Get capable to make toast again. That's the one I want. Yeah.
Yeah.
Be able to get off the couch.
Like. Staring down at the coaster, being like, I don't know why, but this heat is really doing something.
Remember breathing? Do that.
Yeah. So, and I guess it's fine because it turns out she was faking sick, but like, fake sick by looking gross.
Try.
Yes.
Make an effort.
Because we're all gross when we're sick.
That's right.
Absolutely. So he gets done dirty off the top, but then follows it up with just a horror show of a plot line.
Absolutely.
An absolute horror show, right? Because this woman comes in who is cleaning his house. First of all, the fact that you even need a cleaner is ridiculous.
He is rented a house in France. It is not huge. Clean your own house, man.
Yes.
It doesn't take that much effort.
How long are you here for?
Truly. Give it a sweep.
She is there every day.
What kind of pig is this man?
Yeah.
Right?
No,
that's
disgusting.
What I was thinking too. Is like, there's no way you could be that dirty over a week. Like, this is the holidays.
Yeah, and it's not even like this is established as like, oh, well, you rented the house, it comes with a cleaner. It's like there's a scene where the woman who rents out, who runs the cleaning business is talking to him and being like, you have a different cleaner this time. And I'm like, did you call someone to be like, now I must have a cleaner?
Yeah.
He needed this.
I can't.
I need a young woman in my employ.
That is what it feels like.
It does really feel that way.
That is exactly what it feels
How
like.
How much mess could you be making just writing these pages?
Also, is he a writer or is he just starting to write?
Ooh.
That's one thing I couldn't figure out. Is this his first book or does he do books?
I don't think the movie cares to tell you.
It seems important to me.
I would think and hope, and you can maybe back me up on this, Kaya, that a professional writer would have the sense not to use a typewriter.
And make copies?
And make copies and not do it out near the lake on a windy day.
Very upsetting. There's a lot of upsetting things in this film, but as a writer, that was one of the most upsetting.
I have never seen anything more inconvenient than a typewriter.
No.
I've never.
I mean, handwriting.
I literally, like, I would much rather write it just down in a notebook with a pen. I don't know what the hell is happening here. Every time I hear the click, I'm like, your fingers must hurt. Like,
yeah, it's a lot more effort.
There's a lot, like, you got to put force down. You know what I mean? You're doing page after page after page after page of this. What, for the aesthetic? Computers exist, my man.
It's also so inconsiderate to the person that you have to submit this manuscript to. Like back in like the 40s and 50s, for sure. Like we just had to find a way to get it into the typeset or whatever. But someone's got to have to retype everything.
That is so true. Although I will say, and this is nothing, but like anytime I'm editing something, I need it on paper.
I'm okay.
I need it on paper. Like if somebody, cause like sometimes I'll edit people's scripts or whatever, just give them notes. And every time I just hand them a physical copy, they're like, what are you doing? And I was like, this is how I do this. Like I need to mark it.
Yep.
I need to like write in the margin. Like I need to be able to just like free thought it.
Yep.
As soon as it's structured, I'm done.
Well, but the coffee stain on page 30 is how they know that you went through it.
It is
like,
a real
thing.
Like, did
they read this? Yes, they sat their coffee mug down on it and left it.
It is a real thing, though, that your brain registers words differently on a screen than it does on paper.
Ooh. Oh!
And I know this because I also need to print things out to edit them. Like, I'll write it on a screen, then I'll print it out, do a pass, and then go back to writing on a screen.
Because yeah, me
your
too.
Brain reads things differently.
Yep. That's so funny.
There is science behind that, my friend.
Yeah!
Why?
Not that much of a scientist, Craig. I don't have answers. I just have factoids I can't prove.
That fascinates me because, like, it should be the same skill. And I believe you that it's different. But just that our brain would treat these as, like, two different things is just wild to me.
It probably has something to do with light or...
Yeah, it's how your eyes move across the page. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, well, this is...
Anyway, that was a little tangent. Anyway, this guy's an idiot is what we're getting at here.
But falls in love with somebody who... they can't communicate. They have not communicated.
Which
at
is
all.
My least favorite type of love. I gotta say, this Little Mermaid ass fucking splash bullshit of like, I can't stand it. I don't understand. I'm like, you guys are gonna get divorced in like a week.
Sure.
Like, what are you talking about?
Oh my God. It just truly, as a rule, don't marry a man you can't speak to. Don't do it. Because you know what his favorite thing about you is? That you don't talk. Don't do it.
Yep.
Don't do it.
Red flag all over the place.
Absolutely.
There is a version of this storyline where we establish some rudimentary communication between them, right? I'm proposing a fix for this storyline. Where we got some rudimentary communication between them where consent can be understood and given.
Yes.
And they are just two hot people who want to fuck on vacation. And then they part ways... they never see each other again.
100% more charming what you're describing.
Yes, exactly, absolutely. Right? So much more charming.
And
yes.
He goes home being like, I needed that. And she goes home and is like, fucking tourists, you can take them. The thing I like about tourists is I get older and they stay the same.
Wait a minute. Hang on. Hang
just
on.
Hang 40-year-old on. British men. They're always...
That's so funny.
The thing I find upsetting about this is that, like, I know it was 2003 or 2 or whatever. Mm-hmm. You can tell because they make a 9/11 reference in the first 2 minutes of the film.
Yeah, we
which
need
is
to do this.
Very upsetting. They didn't have Google Translate, really. I get
true.
That. But, like, buy a dictionary, my dude. Like, if you're having trouble communicating with this woman, there are ways.
Yes.
He put in no effort.
Yeah, so...
They did go back home and learn each other's languages, but that's going to be... I mean, that's where the nightmare starts, right? Is they now know how to talk to each other.
Yes, of course. They shouldn't start with, like, I learned some words, and now, will you marry me? Will you be with me forever?
Absolutely not.
But what is the return... Okay, so what is the return of that to England? Because they got married or whatever, but he now has to go... to like Christmas dinner with his brother who slept with his ex and bring the woman he's marrying who he only met because his brother, like that's, I think you're skipping a few holidays there, right? Like,
yeah, there's a tense dinner in that for sure.
Just the sounds of forks scraping and that's it.
No, I would watch that.
Yeah.
No, this is old school, man. Plus I would never, and maybe, I don't know, I would never marry somebody I haven't slept with, straight up.
Yeah.
No, that's real. That's good.
I think that's a good thing to do. You know what I mean? Let's just test out these waters.
Okay? I wouldn't marry someone I hadn't lived with.
Absolutely.
You should know how to live with somebody. That's an important element of that.
Yeah.
The second you start living with somebody.
Slob.
Oh, yes. And she's going to be the cleaner.
Oh, I hadn't even thought about
women.
That part.
That's
what they're for,
cleaning
right?
up I men's have... messes.
Oh, Lord.
I don't know. I just love that you did that as like a by men. Women cleaning up men's messes. Like this is a product, which is how this movie treats them.
Women, now for men.
Oh, Lord. All right, next.
Liam Neeson, Mr. Taken. I mean, his wife died.
Oh, his wife died.
Yeah, she was smart. She got out of this movie early.
But once again, to your point, it's her fault.
It's her fault. He's sad.
It is her fault. She should have
died. My theory holds up so
You know
far.
Women always dying on you.
Yeah.
You love them and then they fuck with you.
Although he really does encourage this kid to a manner of like, I'm like, we can't, We can't be running down at an airport.
We cannot be doing that, child.
For, an 11-year-old's like crush, absolutely not. We have to, because that kid's set up for expectations for the rest of his life that cannot be fulfilled, sustained in any way.
And this was a late movie villain turn for me, where I was just like, I was actually going through, because we've talked on the podcast before about how the advice that you give a kid who's in love for the first time, right, is very different than the advice that you give like an adult who's like going through a divorce.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Like, it should be.
Yeah. It should be, right? Hope.
It's their first experience with like love and those feelings. And like,
you imagine that's the advice. First of all, just make sure you don't date a fucking bitch. Lesson one.
First thing, English women suck.
Get out of here. No, but like in that sense, I really liked some of the advice that Liam Neeson, Mr. Taken, is given to this kid, right? Yeah. It's like, tell her. Don't hold back. Don't be ashamed of it. Ask her. Do this.
Yep.
She doesn't notice you. Hey, become a better person. Learn a skill. Like, like I literally wrote down here is like, oh, he's learning music to impress a girl. This is why 50% of people have become musicians.
I think that might be a lower. Like, I think that might be like, I think it might
it's
be like
higher.
75%, 80%.
The reason we have art is because people want to love each other. Like, like pay attention.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I'll
pay
watch
attention.
A movie about that.
Pay attention to me. I have a skill that you find attractive.
That's why we all have podcasts, right?
That's it exactly. we are very incestuous on this network in terms of like, we all kind of have our little partners. Anyway, except for Rebecca, I'm sorry. You were looking at me like you were waiting for me to say it. I was. Anyway, so all of that is great advice.
Yes.
Then it turns where it's like, I'm going to drive you to the airport so you can chase down this, again, what, 11-year-old girl?
This is just straight up stalking. It's stalking, actually, this movie.
Yeah. Here's the move. Oh, buddy, that sucks that your crush in your class is flying somewhere for Christmas and that you didn't get to tell her that you love her. I guess you'll just have to wait till class starts up in January.
Weeks.
2 weeks.
Tops.
Yeah.
Tops.
Tops.
Have you heard of MySpace?
just anything. It's fine. You can wait 2 weeks.
Two good drumming alive. Weeks.
Yeah.
Two,
yeah.
Those are a couple of cute kids, though.
Yeah.
Oh, adorable.
They're adorable.
Yeah. Sure. No, I'll give them that.
Yes,
but
this
like...
is highly inappropriate.
right up there with the kid wearing the octopus costume trying to get out of the car. I thought that was comedy gold.
That was
that's
yes!
One, the kid looks so cute. He's just struggling to get out. And you're just like, they're pushing him. I was like, more kids in octopus outfits.
Yeah, that's what the movie needed, I think, really, deep down, is everyone should have been wearing an octopus outfit.
Honestly,
I wouldn't have even
that
cared.
Would deeply improve this entire movie.
It would take the edge off a lot of the more problematic things.
It really
like,
would.
It's like, oh, I'm fat, and everyone calls me fat. It's like, that's bad, but you're in an octopus costume.
So, how serious am I supposed to take this?
Exactly. I'm the Prime Minister of England. Okay, Dr. Octopus. That's a real thing. and the Liam Neeson thing, there is one part where this kid is running through the airport and takes this wide turn, like running around this corner, and misses a pole by about 6 inches. Ooh. And all I was doing was like, run into the pole. Like, for it to end with like, yeah, you're doing it, and then just watch a young kid slide into a column at the airport and just knock himself out. I was like, I don't wish harm on the kid, but I think that's a hilarious beat for the movie.
Oh, yes.
Like, mom, love is going to knock you out.
I wanted the girl to just say no.
Yeah.
I just want to, like, you know, romantic gestures don't buy you love.
Right.
You can do them. You're not owed anything from it.
This is a very important message.
Very
I think.
Important.
Very important. Because there's something that has been, I don't know, just sometimes you see that where they're like not even, just like people will do something, this grand gesture or whatever it is, and then they'll be like, no, but you owe me this.
Yep.
And it's like, I owe you nothing. What Absolutely. Are you talking about?
I know a friend who had a guy come to her house in a group setting, like a party setting once, mm-hmm. memorize her code by watching her put it in, and then show up on like a weekend morning with a guitar at her front door to sing a song he had written. And I was like,
No. That actually might be the deepest portion of hell I've ever heard of.
Absolutely. Don't do this, men.
I don't even like when men I like show up with a guitar.
I don't like when people call me on the weekends. I don't want to speak out loud to a person. I did that all week.
This is Kaya's time.
That's right. Before noon? Who are you?
So funny.
So yeah, don't do those things, yes. y'all.
No.
Bold gestures. And there's a few of them in this movie.
This movie is almost entirely made up of bold gestures.
Yeah, it's bold gestures with zero thought behind them. Mm-hmm. The best kind of bold gesture.
We love
that. That's sarcasm.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. Put thought into your butt. If you've known this person for 8 years and you know that they like bold gestures and you've flown in their friends and family to be here while you can do a thing, go for it. If they're someone that you fired because you were too sexually attracted to them and go door to door, maybe don't do that.
Nope.
No. The one bold gesture I do like in this movie is, if we can quickly jump to it, which is the wedding where they spring that all you need is love on them. I was like, in terms of wedding surprises, I think that's fine.
I would agree with you. I would. Except that he uses it as a distraction to further stalk her. Quite literally in that moment, what he is doing with the camera is just filming her. So I just feel like...
Yeah, okay. I missed that those lined up together.
It takes the edge off.
Yeah.
Yes. It also takes the edge off that the previous surprise was that guy hiring sex workers for them.
Oh, yeah.
And it's such a throwaway. And I'm like, how is that a throw? That's a dark plot line, man.
Right. And that's they turned out to be men.
Yeah, it would have been better if they hadn't turned out to be men. And it's like, I hate everything you're saying.
I have so many notes.
Yeah, there's no's across the board here. It's no.
I'm going to say it as a man. If you're going to a bachelor party, you don't need strippers.
Nope.
You don't need sex workers of any kind. If you're the kind of friend group that does go to strip clubs and that's your thing, no judgment on you. But do not think for a minute that because it is this type of event that you need to do the things that everyone else does. If you are the kind of group of men who go and play Settlers of Catan at a cottage, that can be your bachelor
Absolutely.
Party.
Oh, I want to do that.
It's a great episode of Parks and Rec called The Bachelor Party.
Right.
It's so good.
Yes, that is right.
And it's what he wanted. Exactly.
Absolutely. That is the perfect bachelor party.
That is. Very wholesome.
So wholesome.
I love it.
And I guess maybe that paints Chiwetel Ejiofor in this in a bad light in that, like, that's as extreme as of a villain you can make him in this, which is that he has friends who think that this is an appropriate way to act.
Yeah, but the friend is also in the storyline.
Right.
Which makes it hard to blame that on him.
Yeah, it's that guy. That guy's...
We can jump to that
one. Yes, we're jumping to this plot line.
We're doing it already.
Yes, we're in it. This guy, first of all, they're not friends. You can't be friends with people like that.
No.
That's not real friendship.
No.
What that guy is, that's not real friendship. Okay?
In what way?
In the way that he's pining for his friend's wife.
Like,
okay.
What's your end game here, man?
Yes, and it's like, and I know it's painted as like this uncontrollable thing. I'm like, no. No, you could back that truck up. You could actually, if it's so excruciating, like if it's like you literally can't stand how into this person you are, don't go to their wedding.
Yeah. Take some space.
Take some time for you, okay? Go to a cottage, get a cleaner for every day for some reason, and just figure your shit out. Just figure your life out. Like, I don't do this.
Yeah. If I can make a recommendation for that sort of scenario, definitely what you don't want to do is buy a camcorder and then just record her at every given opportunity and then edit those together, which is a time-consuming
choice. I'm glad that you picked up that it was edited.
It was edited. It was so edited, and for him and him alone. So what's he doing with these videos?
Oh, I think we know. I'm sorry, but I just think there's no other explanation to this.
What else could he be doing?
I think it's way creepier than that. I think he's dressing up as a groom, and he's projecting this onto a big screen.
Oh, no, you're right. Like, I hope he's just wanking it. Yeah,
yes.
That's
now
worse.
I do.
That's
now
worse.
I do. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
He's like, you're marrying me now, Keira Knightley.
Yep. So funny.
That actually doesn't sound far off.
No, it doesn't. I'm sure there's some mannequin he's got stored in a corner or something with all of our hair on it.
Because clearly he's into crafts. Like he's, you know, this is a man who likes a project. If you're going to write out things on Bristol board, that's thank God we have texting, right? Like,
This woman is his hobby.
Like, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, that's disturbing.
And I will say, like, the fact, my immediate response to this, if I'm Keira Knightley, my immediate response to him showing up, this, like, romance, they're like, oh, you know, like the flipping of the cards and, like, this, like, silent whatever.
God's
like,
gift to photoshopping, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Don't tell your husband, oh, I am immediately whipping around, be like, "But you gotta get over here. Your friend is not your friend." I'm snitching so quick.
Instantly.
Immediately. And I'm like, I know sometimes stuff like this happens where, like, you know, you'll be dating somebody and then their friend hits on you and you're kind of like, well, what do? I don't want to start drama or whatever. No,
start a drama.
Absolutely, I will. Okay, because you need to know your friends are not your friends.
Can you imagine if that guy found out years later that his best friend had had a crush on his wife and she knew about it and that had happened? You'd feel terrible.
Yes, absolutely. I also, just as a side note, I know a guy that did this once, like showed up with the cards to somebody's door.
Oh, no.
And immediately got rejected. And I was like, chef's kiss on that. That's perfect. That's how that scene should have went down.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Just door shut in the face.
Just absolutely not. Thank you so much.
Husband, we need to have a talk.
Yep.
He got married 2 days ago.
You were at the wedding.
Oh, God. And how if I see that, because she sees it. She sees the video, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
How are you not locking the door as soon as you see this guy's face? I'm never speaking to you again.
No, that's
terrifying. I'm out.
You can tell that, like, women were not in the building that this script was in at any time.
That is a great point.
If a woman had read that, I think many women would be like, that is indescribably creepy. If anybody ever did that to me, I would never speak to them again because that is a literal safety issue.
Yeah, yeah. And here's the thing. I will give you a lot of leeway on a wedding video mostly focusing on the bride. You know what I mean? It's like, I got these shots of you, and here's my best friend, too. Like, you can play... Like, for it to be noticeable is like you're tight on my face the entire time.
It's the slow zoom.
It's the slow zoom. Yeah. Not one dancing grandma,
you can see my pores.
Flower like, girl? Yeah. Like, come on. There's got to be a dog carrying a ring in here somewhere.
You're telling me you didn't whip that camera around once?
Not once.
Your best friend. I don't know. You do need, here's the thing, you need the groom shot. She walks through get his expression. It's like, but you focus on her coming down the aisle. I don't know. I'm not going to tell you how to videographer a wedding. Just don't be creepy about it.
Yeah, don't be
creepy about it.
No,
don't be creepy about it.
So creepy. All right, next. Let's go.
Okay.
What do we got
next? So let's jump back to Hans Gruber.
Oh, Hans.
Ugh.
Unless we've done that. So
I don't... I hate him.
Yeah, it's a dick thing. I tried so hard off the
top
to be
like... No, it's just
like
that scene when she's crying to Jodie Mitt. It kills me every time, because I feel like even if you haven't you know what I mean, I've never been married to somebody, but like I've been cheated on before, you know what I mean, like it just feels like you can identify with that type of sadness at one point in your life.
Oh yeah.
And I just feel it so hard in that moment. Like, she does it so well. Just, like, her putting on the music, collecting yourself. I was like, oh my God.
Having to show the strong face is, I think, probably the worst part of that.
Yeah. I, like, this movie really rests on a lot of really good actors and how charming and or good that they are, you know? Mm. And this is one of those scenes where you're like, this story doesn't justify this, but you're acting the fuck out of this. Yes. And she's so good.
She is so good. And can you imagine just opening up CDs to a necklace?
Oh, yeah. Expecting the necklace. That's
That is brutal. I will give them that.
That is a hard hit. I'm going to completely reverse what I was trying to do before and go even more into how big of a dick he is. Okay. So.
Taking a U-turn.
Yeah. There is the whole thing of expecting the necklace and getting the CD. And that's upsetting. There is also, like, okay, you're in a relationship. You have kids. There is a relationship where we get each other CDs for Christmas. Like, sure.
Absolutely. That's like, not this a problem.
We're not going to do it, go crazy. The Christmas is about the kids all the
time. Absolutely.
And so, like, that could be a fine relationship. But it's still a shitty gift. Because he got her the Joni Mitchell CD with Both Ways on it. That is her number one hit. Your wife is a Joni Mitchell fan, and you're telling me she doesn't already own Both Ways?
That's a very good point, actually.
That's like getting a Baha Men fan who let the dogs out. They own it. Get them some off track, you know, that's some B-sides or something.
Yeah, she's got a lot of albums, y'all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I also would like to point out, and it's just one line, but this and this alone makes him such a deep fucking villain to me. At one point when he's planning the Christmas party or whatever, and he's talking to his secretary or assistant or whatever, and he goes... tell the girls to avoid Kevin if they want their breasts unfondled. You're the boss. Why does Kevin work here?
Fire Kevin.
What is this? Fuck.
Yeah.
I heard that sentence. I was like chilling. Can you imagine if your boss says that to you? Oh, avoid that guy.
Yeah.
He's going to sexually assault you at the party. Let the women know.
Ha 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 ha. Aren't I funny?
Oh!
Yeah, that's very upsetting. Yeah.
This feels like this will be taken in a deposition at some point.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
And then he said to me, quote, look out for Kevin if they don't want their breasts fun.
Oh, God.
So this was a known pattern of behavior for Mr. Gruber.
Yeah, he started a lot of sentences with, tell the women.
Tell the women.
That was so gross.
Awful. And just the fact that he calls in Laura Linney, not to jump to a completely different thing, and like, forces her to admit a crush on a coworker is also bad.
Yeah.
It's bad behavior.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yes.
Yeah. They do seem like they're friends, though, like outside of work, which is, I know there's like that boss-employee dynamic and like you shouldn't be, but like there is kind of like, let's say they're coworkers for argument's sake.
Yeah.
You could be like, come on, you got a crush on that guy. Everybody knows it. Just, he likes you back too. Seal the deal.
Mm-hmm. As like, an isolated incident, that would be fine.
Exactly. Yeah. There is the power dynamic.
Yeah.
There is also.
And he's gross.
There is also that he's gross.
Other proofs.
Yeah. And that this is a problematic workplace. Mm-hmm.
Totally. Yeah. Absolutely.
I would love this from Carl's perspective, where he's like, Alan Rickman said that if I had sex with you tonight, I'd get a promotion. You're like, oh, he's doing it to you too.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. This is so much worse.
I will say my favorite part of this plot line is Rowan Atkinson just stalling for 5 minutes trying to wrap the necklace up.
Yeah.
I do find that very charming because I really love Rowan Atkinson.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And it's, again, a secret.
It's a secret.
It's a secret.
Yeah, you're right.
The whole joke.
And you know it's bad because it's a secret.
Because he's, you're right.
As soon as it's a secret, you can't claim ignorance. You know. Yeah. You know what you're
Facts.
Doing. You're being sneaky.
If I guess my argument was like, if that scene didn't exist... and he was just like, oh, I get presents for secretaries. What is appropriate? jewelry? I mean, that's what the secretary told me.
You know, I agree. If the plot was different, it would be better. Yeah, I do agree with that. Yeah.
Yes.
But as is.
As is. You're right.
As
you're
it
right.
stands.
Yeah.
Okay, what do we got next, Craig?
Okay, so we're jumping around a bit, but Bilbo Baggins and Just Julia, the porn stand-ins.
Ah, I think we can breeze past this.
Totally yeah. fine.
Other
totally
than
fine.
It's not a thing
Almost
that doesn't
charming.
Exist. There are people who stand in for lighting.
Yes.
Presumably
for movies
on
and stuff.
Yeah, presumably for porns as well, but I guess you don't need to be naked for that.
I think it depends on I think if you're talking like real high budget porn, maybe. Maybe. But you absolutely don't need to be naked.
No, that's
absolutely
true. Like we
not.
Just need the reflection off your skin tone. 100%.
Yeah.
Also, I didn't know if it was a porn or just like a really high class movie.
That would make more sense.
Yeah. Mm. It seemed like it was like going to be artful. Not that what they were doing was artful, but it seemed like they were setting the. Like they had good sets, I guess is
yes.
what I'd say.
Yes,
they did.
Movie quality sets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm.
There was like Greek pillars and things.
Yeah. If you're watching porn and your thought is, oh, this lighting, then this. You're watching some crazy porn.
Yeah, you're watching too much, probably.
Yeah, totally.
Too much.
Yeah, lighting is not. Yeah, so they're fine. They actually just have a conversation and then they ask each other out. And
he's happy.
Yeah.
And
it's happy.
Cute.
And together.
He's also extremely charming. Yes. Extremely charming.
But it is also, as you pointed out, it's like very male fantasy where you're like, what if we had our tits out the whole time? And like, wouldn't that just be easier to get to know somebody if we were just naked and simulating sex already?
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? Like,
it's a good point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's very like male fantasy. Like,
yes.
In the worst way.
Yeah. Because it would be very easy to be the woman in that scenario and be like, I guess I. Should I say yes to this? I don't know. I feel uncomfortable. You know?
100%.
100%.
Yeah. Like, I think that's even, I think if you were going to cast him as a villain in any way, it's that he didn't really wait until they were done and had their clothes on back on.
Yeah, that's a very vulnerable situation
exactly.
to be asking somebody for a date.
Yeah.
Great point.
Can't really say no, you know?
So there are problems. As
there
well.
Are problems.
That's obvious.
Yes.
God damn it.
Again, it's the shell game. If it moves so fast, you don't notice it the first time.
That's right. And I think comparing it to the other ones, you're like, this one isn't so bad.
Yeah, they're just naked. We can all be comfortable with our bodies. It's fine.
So I'm going to like it by default.
Yeah. If that happened at a nudist colony, we would be like singing the praises. Look at those two well-adjusted people just comfortable with their bodies, having a fun conversation, finding things they have in common, going to go ask for coffee. Great. No problem. Prime Minister Hugh Grant.
Okay. Obviously deeply problematic. Okay, he is the most powerful person
in the country.
So we'll start with probably a power dynamic. Yeah, I would say.
Maybe a little.
He also is just like, he's like literally says things like, who do you gotta shag to get a tea around here? It's like, oh, this is a great workplace environment. Good for you.
Yeah.
You move this woman to a different department or whatever. Because, like, you can't be around her because she's too sexy for you.
He really seems like the type of politician that people voted in, mostly because they can imagine getting a beer with him, you know?
Oh, yes, he is a beer boy, for sure.
One of those. I could get a pint with him.
Yeah, he is just...
I was also going to say, it really feels like somebody resigned and he took over. Because it's December and he's taking over as prime minister.
That's
like,
a very good point.
There probably wasn't an election that close. So I think somebody was like, oh, this government's going down.
Which would sound unrealistic, but recently.
Yes, yeah. They've had like 6 prime ministers in the last 3 years or something. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. He also like combats with the American president, not because of a policy or because things needed to change. It was because like, you were with my woman.
That's... truly blows my mind that foreign policy is affected by his dick.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. That man is being led by his penis.
That is a scene that's actually worth... Let's step back and walk through that because it's quite disturbing what actually happens. So Natalie is employed within 10 Downing, like the house of the prime minister.
Somehow.
As like a... like. Brings tea, brings things for like meetings and all the rest. Like, fine. That's your job. That sort of thing needs to happen. She brings in things for the meeting between Hugh Grant and the American president. Billy Bob Thornton, completely forgot he was in this, who is clearly playing a Bill Clinton type. He is like, Hugh Grant is called out to like deal with something, comes back in, and walks in on the president of the United States sexually assaulting an employee of yours.
Yes.
Like, that's, I think, probably the most generous way to put that.
Mm-hmm. Yep, 100%.
And then he's like, Americans, commits to some probably harebrained foreign policy scheme, pissing off their greatest ally, and then gets rid of her. It's not because like he can't stand, it's like because she wants somebody else.
Yes. Yeah. No, that's exactly. It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Blame Monica. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, that's even worse when you lay it all out like that. Yeah. It was bad terrible. To begin with, but you're totally right.
Yeah. It was like, you were a woman who I saw evidence of being sexually assaulted by another powerful figure, and I don't like that, so get it away from me.
The fact that that happened, like, from her perspective, the fact that that happened and then the next day she got let go is, like, oh, that's terrible.
It's awful.
That's awful. It's an awful thing to happen
to
someone.
Yeah, I'm feeling bad. I'm feeling bad. I'm feeling bad over here.
I'm sorry.
Like,
no, don't
tragedy.
Be sorry. This is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. On a completely separate and less depressing note, the laziness of the writing in these scenes where between the two leaders of the countries, they're like, so you want to give me what I'm asking for? I don't know if we can do that. Like, the lack of just nouns in that conversation.
Specific. That is so funny.
Truly, give me a single fucking detail in this conversation. Google God. It. I'm begging you.
Just any foreign policy term.
A single thing. Just like the word taxes, consideration. I don't know. Trade. Just any. I don't know. Jack shit. And I'm improvising here.
That is absolutely correct.
Made me extremely upset.
That's so funny.
Do you know what international diplomacy hinges on? Generality. No need to get specific about anything.
We'll make sure the things get to the place at the time.
Yeah.
It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
It's kind of like when you've been in a relationship for so long and you don't really need to have the conversation because you all just like, how is the... Yeah, great.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
No, that's great.
The thing? Great.
Yeah. So anyway, that part is upsetting in a different way.
Yes, we love a good lazy... Like, I always refer to it as the, like... Put in detail here note that never got.
Yeah.
I've written that down before.
He walked his dog. Insert breed later.
Yeah, 100%.
No, and dog got to final draft. Okay, there we go.
This We're whole here. Thing feels like that was how this script was written.
So, and refresh my memory. Was this like a book? Was it? This feels like this was based on something else somehow.
I have literally no idea.
I don't either.
I, for whatever reason, have not felt like I needed to look into more of this movie.
Yeah, no kidding.
For whatever reason, there's something holding me back from going, let's do a deep dive.
Well,
let's get the history.
Yeah.
And I guess the reason I feel that way is because there was sort of this trend within, like, the early 2000s with, like, he's just not that into you, and... like sort of like self-help books.
Devil Wears Prada.
Things that were sort of redone as like, here's an ensemble thing about like a non-fiction book or a book of essays or something like that.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
There was kind of that weird trend, and it feels like this works better as a book full of short stories than like... a cohesive movie.
Yeah, like it feels like a chicken soup for the I don't know,
Love
sad
action.
Man's soul. Entitled dude's soul, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
I was trying to quickly find,
but maybe
I can't
it was
find anything
just maybe
it
was just done in that style because like
Yeah.
And maybe that style emerged because of this movie. I don't know.
Yeah, I always assumed it was just kind of one of those like, hey, what if we how many celebrities do you think we can stack into a single movie, and then like you have follow-up movies that do the exact same thing that just never quite hit the same, like there's a like I think New Year's Eve version of this, there's a Valentine's Day version of this, there's a I think there's a St. Patrick's Day version of this, like there's a lot
a St. Patrick's I was aware of the other two. That third one is actually a movie I kind of want to see.
Yeah.
Because that just seems like drunken shenanigans.
Right? Absolutely. Oh, you mean the holiday that is barely a holiday.
No, this was... Okay, so this was never a book. It was... The man writing, which
nailed it.
Oh, yeah. Really? Yeah. Wow.
So apparently started writing two separate films. And then the plot lines featuring Hugh Grant and Colin Firth changed after apparently partly inspired by Pulp Fiction.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So then started to like weave everything
together.
Yeah,
because those two movies are equivalent.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. Gonna say, don't think he executed that.
No, absolutely not. You want me to believe that all these people are falling in love? Don't make a 5-week timeline. Yeah. Do you know this whole thing goes over just 5 weeks,
five
right?
5 weeks.
Wow.
5 weeks. That's where we start. We start 5 weeks before Christmas, and all of this happens within the 5 weeks. So many inappropriate love timelines. Yeah. I'm sorry.
And there's the scene they had to cut with Quentin Tarantino coming in and cutting a guy's ear off.
Yeah. I actually think it just would have pulled it together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Quite frankly. Yes.
Yeah.
That was Reservoir Dogs. I'm upset with myself.
I knew what you were talking about.
Yeah, no, I think that's pretty iconic. Yeah,
yeah.
The adrenaline to the heart is Pulp Fiction.
There yes, that's right.
Uma Thurman. Anyway, good to know. All right, we have a couple others to get to. The grossest of them all.
I'm so excited. Yes.
The Colin.
Colin.
There's a reason I know his name, and it's because he's my enemy.
Because he's my enemy. Well, I would love you to start.
Oh, it's just the. I think this was the plot line that I remember watching this the first time. And when this plot line resolved, that was the moment that I just thought to myself, I hate this movie. I hate this movie. I hate this movie. Because the way it's set up is that he should go to America and learn a lesson of any kind, any at all. That he goes and he's like, oh, women don't like me because I am literally drooling on their shoulder. That's the mistake. But no, he shows up and it goes perfectly for him in the longest scene of all time with three women just fawning over him.
It is such a night because he is so disgusting.
He's disgusting.
He's disgusting. Every place he works at, he harasses the women.
Every single
woman he walks by, he hits on them. He is literally just dripping with desperation and just
disdain.
And disdain for these women are so uptight. All these it's the British women that are the problem. And it's like, no, you're literally harassing every person you talk to. You know what women also don't like? The feeling of I could be anyone to you.
Yeah.
They hate
absolutely.
That. I'm just going to speak on behalf of women. We do not like that. Okay.
Interchangeable.
If my pussy could be anybody's pussy, it's out. Okay. Yeah. It's done. I'm out. Okay. I don't like it. Okay. There's no reason for me to pursue this. I am not a special person to you. I am not interesting. I am a woman and that is it. And it's like, oh, that's what's going wrong for you, friend. The fact that his whole thing was he flew over and then immediately got laid by three fictional women, the most fictional people I've ever seen in my entire life.
Just so wildly made up.
Yeah. They're like, well, we live together because we're poor and we have to share the same bed and we don't wear pajamas. And like, so here's what I really wanted to happen in that scene. And I swear to God, I thought this, I've seen this movie before. And I swear to God, even on the second, third view, I thought this is where this plot line was heading. Where I was like, he's getting robbed. Right?
Absolutely.
These women go, here's a mark.
An idiot
will be like, oh, we're so, so. And then they take him back to their place. They strip him naked, take all of his stuff, and he's left in America with nothing. Because that's what they're setting up. Because they're not, as you said, they're not women who exist.
Yes.
Right? They're playing a con on this idiot man.
Clearly.
And at least then you'd have a woman in this movie who came out on top.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Like, watching the end of this feels like you're on a drug of some kind, where you're like, what? Am I seeing this? Is this really happening?
Yeah. Yes. And if those three women did rob him, That's a villain I would defend to the end. Absolutely.
Yes. Absolutely.
That man deserves. He would deserve it. He deserves. Oh my God. What a gross. He's so everything. Every single thing that comes out of his mouth is disgusting.
And then he brings a woman home for his friend like it's a duty-free scotch. Like it's... Like, he's like, oh, buddy, I got like so much pussy duty, and I brought you some.
A duty-free scotch is so funny. Yo, that's exactly how that goes down.
That's exactly how it goes down. And then she just, like, kisses him immediately.
Oh, God.
Because good women have no opinions.
For some reason, my brain threw that scene out. It just dumped it. I even forgot that happened.
You were right to do that.
Yes. Yeah. I forgot that extra scene happens.
Yeah, really genuinely hate that that guy got a happy ending.
Oh, it's deeply upsetting. And also, again, just bad writing. It's just bad writing. It's not a story. It's just a series of things that happen to a person.
That's true. There's absolutely no arc.
There's no arc. Yes.
Like, guy continues same behavior, different location, and it works out for him.
Yeah. Location was problem, end of story. I guess we've all learned and grown. Thank you.
Fuck. Sometimes you just need to go somewhere else.
Fuck.
Striking out at the bowling alley? Try the baseball cages. Or you would actually strike out. Anyway. I don't know.
Pulp Fiction.
And the final one, we with Laura Linney.
This is mostly sad. It is mostly sad, and I'm sorry. I am deeply of the opinion... Fuck that man. Call this guy back. Like, literally, like, how long is this guy going for? 30 minutes tops? Absolute tops. Okay. Yeah. And then call that guy back.
Totally. Also, if you actually like this woman, and this woman is having a family emergency, and your response is, well, it's me or them, you fucking suck, dude.
Yeah, that is true.
You suck, dude. Yeah. If I was on a date with someone and they were having a family emergency, I'd be like, oh my God, go to them.
Can I drive you somewhere? Let's have dinner.
Yeah, truly.
Let me know.
Bad behavior.
My only argument against that would be she's always having an emergency.
But I don't know if he knows that.
He knows. They work together in the same office. They're very familiar with each other. Everybody knows why her phone's always ringing. Because nobody really complains to her about it. Because if they didn't know what was going on, all those coworkers would be doing would be shit-talking her constantly.
That's true.
They know what's happening. Every single coworker knows what's happening. And I just have to make the argument that, like, and I think it's very sweet, okay? And I love that she loves her brother. And I think the whole plot line's super sweet. But I'm saying if you've been pining over this man for a couple of years and that your brother calls you all the time, like all the time, always.
Yeah.
I think maybe you can miss one.
I do agree. Yes.
That's what I would say. Although I would agree with you. It's kind of a day of like, it's me or that. I don't know about that terminology. I don't like exactly how that goes down. But like, in the sense of like, if we're getting it on and it's like, maybe miss this one.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is. I mean, it's tough because early in the relationship, and they are very early, they don't really even have a relationship, but they're clearly considering like the dalliance of like the revelation that like, oh, I knew that she got a lot of calls and I knew it's her own brother and I know her brother's not well. But as I sit here, I realize, oh, this is very intrusive into your life all the time. Like even when you're with somebody that you like or like in the middle of sex, like shirts off sort of like we're about to do this and you drop everything for that. I can sort of see that being like, that's a different energy than maybe you thought you were getting into. And I think sort of saying, oh, that's not for me right off the get before you do anything is maybe admirable.
I could get on board with that. There is something that like even if she was like let's keep going, I'd be like, you just had a very difficult conversation with your brother. I don't know if this is sex time now.
Let's grab a tea, let's watch Netflix.
Maybe just take a minute and we'll work our way back up to it.
That is very fair. These are all fair points.
We did have a request for that actually takes us to the end of this, but we did have a request. I think we all have the same answer from one of our listeners, which is, what is your least favorite plot point in this? Least favorite story, I should say. Which one disturbs you the most?
Well, that's the problem.
Almost difficult.
Yes, it's so difficult because there's ones where I'm like, Like, there's ones that are more disturbing than others, and there's ones that I feel deeply, it makes me more angry because I feel more emotionally attached. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
So, getting cheated on, like, that whole plot line, that's probably my deepest, like, the one I liked the least, but because I actually felt...
Like the Keira Knightley one, sorry?
No, not the Keira Knightley one. Oh. The Alan Rickman one.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yes.
There's so much cheating. Alan
Rickman one. True. Just because I feel so much for those characters. You know what I mean? This is despicable. Yeah. Da 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 da. Arguably, there's probably some more problematic plot line. You know what I mean? But I would say that one I feel like I like the least just because I'm so upset by it.
Yes.
That one felt most like a movie to me.
But that's also, that's the thing.
Like, that's the one I keep hanging on to.
Yeah. Yes. So I also am like, but that's the most movie one. That's the one that I actually probably like the most because I feel the most for because they were real fleshed out people that had idea and like an actual arc.
There was a story. There.
Yes.
Just any story at all.
Yeah. So maybe the Colin one.
The Colin one is mine, hands down.
Like,
I
Colin
hate it.
Is
I hate
disgusting.
It.
He Why wins would we even the whole way this in through. The movie? Yes.
Yeah.
That could have easily been cut.
He's not even a famous actor, and it's not even a good story. It's you could cut have cut that for cut time.
Him. I would agree with that. Yes, cut him.
That storyline isn't just a bad storyline in this movie. It's a mistake that humanity made. Like, we allowed this to happen. I hate it so much.
Yes.
With that said, I do really dislike the president storyline just for the lack of just any effort to make any of that seem real. And I do want to tackle Keira Knightley when she goes to kiss that guy at the end.
Yeah.
Just a full Horror football show. Tackle. Yep. Don't do it. Don't. What are you doing? He will keep filming you.
Sometimes I wish I was better at video editing because then I would for sure just like Photoshop you in running but through in the background.
Just tackling. Oh. So funny.
He just looks back, sees an empty street, and keeps walking. You're like, whew, thank God.
Narrow.
Let me tell you what's great about Chewy Trilogy of War.
I feel like Love Actually 2 is just the show You. But with starring that guy.
Yeah. Ugh, I really disliked You. Anyway.
I did not watch it.
No.
Wouldn't recommend.
No, I don't think it's for me.
It was it was my villain of the week one day. Yeah. I don't know. Anything like
No, I think yeah, we covered the whole thing.
We covered the whole movie. Mm-hmm. I will say this has turned into more of the protagonist is an asshole, which we do occasionally.
That's fine. I don't care. Everybody in here is a villain. Everybody. Yeah.
Yeah. And they weren't, right? They weren't.
No, nobody was.
Unless you go by the women are the villain theory.
Yes, in which case they were right. And third option, man.
And third option, yes. Third option. They deserve rights. Women deserve rights. We have crazy opinions on this podcast.
The villain needs rights. Different podcast, but not that different.
Oh my God.
Anything else you want to share before we... All right, so I think it's time to give our definitive rankings of how good the villain is. I'm going to start us off with the inappropriate gifts to give your secretary scale.
I love it.
So on a scale from a gift basket, complete with world's best secretary mug and chocolate-covered almonds, you know everyone's going to be in those almonds all the time. You're going to hear that cellophane rustling. Yeah. Great gift. Great. Very office appropriate. all the way up to lingerie. I'm going to give Hans Gruber, a.k.a. Alan Rickman, a gold necklace. Yeah, you fucked up. Like, it's just, you got it wrong.
Yep. Okay, great. Kyle, what do you have?
On a scale of romantic gestures from surprise airport appearance to surprise proposal, I'm going to give the villains... all of the people in this movie.
That's also what I'm ranking. Yes, all of the people.
Great,
yes.
Great. I'm going to give that a unexpected flashcard moment because you really should be arrested. This really should be illegal.
Yes, absolutely. I have a different scale, but similar. Same.
Good, good.
So my scale this week is the inappropriate love to timeline ratio.
Yes.
So I've got from triple texting somebody in a single afternoon to that friend that moved in way too soon with their partner. I'm going to give every character in this movie a shotgun wedding. Everyone is holding a loaded weapon. Everyone is wild. Put the guns down. Put them down. Let's all take a breath. My God. And team, before we get to our heroes and villains of the week, as always, there's a couple ways you can help out the podcast. If you would like to follow us, you can follow us at VWR Podcast on Twitter, Villain Was Right on Facebook. And if you want to email us your suggestions, your comments, your life stories, who knows? Sometimes we get some of those. I like it. Please email us at villainwasright@gmail.com. And if you have a couple of bucks.
Yeah, we are on Patreon, patreon.com/thevillainwasright. If you're unfamiliar, Patreon is a monthly subscription service where you get to support the artists that you like. And hopefully that's us. Hopefully you like us and want to support us. If so, you get rewarded with some amazing benefits at various tiers. So for $1 a month, ad-free episodes. Get episodes without ads in them. You know you'll love it. All the way up to $7 a month gets you 2 bonus episodes every month. Rebecca makes a pick. I make a pick. If you sign up in December, you might get 3 because we screwed up last month. Sorry about that. Anyway.
Whoops.
As well, you can vote on who what movies you want us to cover for our audience choice. And as well get early release of episodes. So I'm sure there's a benefit there that fits for you. So head on over to patreon.com/thevillainwasright. And if you don't have any money, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for telling your friends about us and supporting us that way. We love you for it. And now it is time for our hero and villain of the week. Rebecca, what do you got this week?
Okay, so I've got heroes. I've got heroes. This movie had reminded me of my own life. it's simply this. I was with a person that I should not have been with. Okay, or like at least it was discovered I should not have been with this person. And I stayed with them way too much, like way longer than I should have. I muscled through way more than I should have. But my hero of this week is all the friends that patiently waited for me to figure that out. Yes. Chefs, congratulations, everyone. I just thank you so much to the friends that I would bitch to week after week. After Craig is one of these people, Craig, this is for you as well.
Yeah.
I would call Craig on a walk and be like, and another thing. And Craig would just go, yep, no, that's not good. Yep, no, that's
That
shouldn't be happening. That's highly inappropriate. Yes, no, okay. And it's just like all of my friends, and I'm sure you all talk to each other, and congratulations. I thank you so much for doing that. Because wow, did it take me so long? Oh my God. It is the opposite of the plot line of this movie. Everything took way too long.
It always does, though, yeah. Is what I would say.
Oh, absolutely. I'm also not trying to shame myself. Everybody has their own timelines. But I just really, really, really appreciate all of my friends getting together and going, okay, this is something you need to learn on your own, and we're all going to be very patient with you, and I appreciate each and every one of you for that. Thank you so much. You're all my heroes of the week. So what do you got for us, Kai?
I also have heroes.
Nice.
The heroes in question are Tegan and Sarah, the beloved Canadian rock
Yay!
Duo, because they just fairly recently released a show called High School based off their autobiography.
I've heard of this.
And it's really good. It's really good.
I didn't know they were doing that. I love Tegan and Sarah. Yes.
Oh my gosh. Then you have to watch the show because it's about their life in high school when they were like learning to write music and like all of their different like relationships. And it feels very much like not just being a high schooler, but being a queer high schooler in Canada. And I'm like, this is too resonant. like they little things. Like you'll see them playing with their health card in class or whatever, and I'm just like, oh, this is detailed, man.
That's awesome.
It's great, and obviously, just like it's made me reflect on, you know, the lesbian heroes that Tegan and Sarah truly are. Because while I don't identify as a lesbian now, I was raised one, and like, I'm still culturally a lesbian, you know, if not practicing. Tegan and Sarah have just like gotten so many people through so many breakups, through so many big life things. Like, if you're going through a lesbian breakup, you listen to Tegan and Sarah. So they're the heroes of the week.
These are the facts. And I would just to launch off of that just really quickly, the only concert I've ever been to where they stopped it because somebody was pushing people. Bless. Tegan and Sarah were like, we're going to stop this right now. The song is Where Did the Good Go? So we're going
to
stop this.
Oh, and you need to listen to that one.
Yes, absolutely. Very important. They were like, you don't have to leave, but you have to go to the back. And they stopped until the guy went to the back. They were like, you're pushing people? This is not what this is about, okay? Everybody was throwing their bras on stage. It was one of the best concerts I've ever been to. I loved it. Anyway, but that was the only one I've ever seen somebody shut down a concert for a minute and go, no, you to the back. Loved
Behave
it.
Well.
Yes. Oh, just, I think, I don't know. I've never met them. Just seems like phenomenal people.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's great. Heroes. Amazing. So I also have a hero, a rare triple hero on the podcast.
I think we needed positivity after this movie. We're like, we need to say something positive.
There've been enough villains.
Yes. There's enough villains. So here, what I title this, What Love Actually Is.
Oh, that's cute.
So this is just a quick story. Basically, what happened is Kat, my partner, I hate it, but I love it. Also on this network, I told you we were incestuous. So she hired somebody to mount a TV for us on the wall. And like it kind of bugged the like DIYer part of my brain where it was like, oh, I could do that. I could pull that off. And then as soon as these guys came in and they like drilled into the wall and they're like, oh, that's weird. I was like, oh, thank God. Like
you get your man card back. You're like,
no, just the idea that it would be like that if something goes wrong, this is somebody else's problem.
Yeah.
And I was just like, that immediate relief. Like, I don't even care if the TV falls off the wall now, as long as I'm not the one who's responsible for it.
You just felt like the bullet you dodged just whizzing by your head.
Exactly, right? So there was that. And like, but these two guys are in there, like two guys, like their early 20s. They clearly have like a business doing it themselves or whatever. They got all the equipment. They're very nice and polite and all the rest, and they're going through it. And then, you know, they're drilling holes and getting materials out and stuff like that. And we're just kind of like sitting around because they're asking us like, well, where do you want it and all the rest. And the whole time that this is happening, this one guy keeps getting these phone calls, right? There's these phone calls. And he's just talking to his friend, his coworker. And he's like, it's my mom. I don't know what she wants. Like, there's a birthday party tonight. And I think maybe she's like wondering where I am, but like she won't stop calling. And he's like, she's calling again. Like, this is crazy. So he just like finally, he like stops and he takes the call. And he just says, and he goes, I'm at work. It's like, well, I don't know where she is. She's probably driving somewhere. Well, you just picked a bad time to call everybody. Like, I love you. Just call me after work. And he like hangs up, right? And I was like, that's kind of funny or whatever. So they finish up. We shake their hands. We tip them. And they're out the door. And this is why I titled this What Love Actually Is. Because Kat is seeing them out of the door. She's closing the door behind them. And as it gets like a crack before it closes, she says to them, say hi to your mom for me. And I just died laughing. I can't believe you just said that to them. Say hi to your mom for me.
That's hilarious.
And like, she did it in like a loving way too. Like, say hi to your mom for me. Door shut. And I was just like dying. I've been walking around our place for like weeks, just like coming downstairs or into a room and be like, say hi to your mom for me, and just cackling again. And that is the reason that I love that woman, because she does things like that just crack me up. I love it.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
I love that.
Say hi to your mom for me.
Say hi to your
mom
for me.
It's one of the funniest fucking things you can say.
That's a delight.
Guys. Well, as always, if you would like to follow me, you can follow me at Rebecca Reads on any platform of your choosing. Kai, where can people follow you?
You can find me on Instagram or Twitter at the Kaya Green.
Cool. Yes.
And also check out their podcast, Fandom Show, on this
of
network.
Course.
Yes.
I should have mentioned that. Yeah, that would have been good to bring up. Eh? Yeah. I'm also a host of the Fandom Show on this network.
That cross promotion in the
Just scroll elsewhere on the website and also find me.
Fantastic. Yeah, check them out. You can follow me at Craig Faye Comedy, Facebook, Twitter, craigfaye.com for show dates. And please check out my new comedy album, Performance Review, which is out now.
Guys, so that's been us this week. Next week, we are covering Santa Claus 3.
Oh my
the
God.
The escape clause. That is our audience choice. Thank you so much for that. It's going to be a banger. And as always, this is The Villain Was Right reminding you, don't buy drugs, become a rock star and get them for free.
The Villain Was Right is produced by Andrew Ivamy as part of the From Superheroes Network. For more great podcasts like this, as well as webcomics, articles, and so much more, visit FromSuperheroes.com.